Stopping in. Today we're going to talk about beach bikes and mosquitoes. At least that's my quick notes from what I was able to see from some of the things that we got. But you have the beach monitoring that's going on. What's the process? How does that work? What's the process for that sort of a thing?
Well, you know, it's one of our busy summer activities where we're out there testing the waters at the local Lake Erie beaches to make sure they're safe for swimmers. So we will take water samples. We call contamination in the water, and we want to make sure levels aren't too high that pose a safety or healthy risk for those in the water.
How quickly do you know?
We know the next day.
And then the signs go up if need be.
They do go up if need be. And where we're doing this right now is at Lakeview Beach and Century Beach in Lorain, and Lakewood Beach and Community Park Beach in Sheffield Lake.
What can lead to higher than desired bacteria levels, E. coli?
Well, one of the big things is a good rain event, because as you know, when it rains, you know, everything the rain comes in contact with on our streets, park areas, you name it, all that water washes into our waterways, which ends up in Lake Erie. But there's other factors as well. If it's very wavy, very windy, that alone will stir up the lake where it looks maybe brown or like chocolate milk. That alone could be a reason that bacterial levels might be high. So there's many factors. Also, there's birds, seagulls, things like that as well.
What about some areas have break walls, breakwaters? Does that kind of slow down water movement, and can that lead to problems too?
It can't result in high bacteria, for example, but it does factor in with how the water circulates in and out of an area.
People can sometimes then, if it's okay, go in and swim there, but a lot of times they prefer to use a city pool or something like
right.
that as well. Let's talk about some of the areas. We're in Amherst now this morning. There's different places that people go for pool. Let's talk a little bit, I guess, pool safety this morning, and a little bit about some of the things that the health district does during those type of...
Right, and very appropriate with the hot weather we're having right now. So we do license and inspect all public pools, and here in Amherst, there's two beautiful facilities. There's Maud Needing Pool and also the Mercy Health and Rec Center Pool. But, you know, we ensure that the water is safe for swimmers and that there's also safety measures in place to protect them in case there should be an accident.
Right, which would be including lifeguards, make sure there's
right.
people there on duty, and then they have the appropriate equipment or training. And just sort of the sanitary conditions are appropriate in those areas, too.
Right. So we're checking for things. You know, the obvious things are chemicals. You know, make sure there's enough disinfectant in the water. And also, you know, the water clarity is very important. You know, can you see the bottom of the pool? If it's too cloudy, or let's say there's what we call like an algae bloom, the pool goes green, you know, that's going to create a problem. And, you know, you mentioned the lifeguards. You know, not all pools have lifeguards, but it's important that you do swim one at one where there was one present.
Right. And I guess if you are going to a pool or around water, you should know how to swim. I mean, that's something you see those circumstances. People somehow think it's fun. They get in the water, and they may not be able to swim. Getting that type of a skill is also important for
exactly.
an individual to keep themselves safe. This is also a time of the year, now it's been dry a little bit, so some of those areas have dried up, but when there's rain, there's still little puddles out there for mosquitoes to be breeding, and that's some of the things that we have to keep in mind. It's one of those that you're involved with too, right, the health department?
Right, and another big program for us this summer is our mosquito control program, and fortunately, you know, it has almost been a drought year for us, so that is keeping our mosquito populations down. And also the number of complaints that we get from residents are very low compared to previous years. But one of the big things we're out doing is what we call trapping mosquitoes. We have traps set up around the county where we're collecting mosquitoes to have them tested down at the state to see if they are carrying any kind of diseases.
And so far, so good?
So far, so good. You know, we are starting to see some West Nile virus activity, which is common. That's been around for years now, so it's always present in the environment. But some of the other ones, you know, that are common as well as St. Louis, encephalitis. People are talking about Zika, which isn't so much a problem up here. You know, cases that we've had are from people that may have been traveling to areas where it is a problem. But yeah, another busy program for us. And there's things people can do on their own yard, of course, to help with mosquitoes, such as removing anything that can hold water, whether it's buckets, low areas in the yard, cleaning your gutters, changing your bird baths frequently. And also there's the personal protection, you know, when you're out, especially at night when their mosquitoes are most active, you know, wearing long sleeves and pants. I know that's more of a challenge when it's hot out like it is right now. But make sure you're also using bug repellent that has DEET in it. And also things on your home. If you have window screens that are torn, you should repair those and fix loose doors to keep those mosquitoes out.
One of the nice things about sitting here at Arabica, out by the sidewalk, looking out, joggers go by in the morning, people go by on their bicycles. What does the Lorain County General Health District have to offer in terms of maybe partnerships for people who want to ride?
We actually have a lot of partnerships dealing with bike safety and walking throughout the health district. Some communities I'll highlight here, in Oberlin, for example, there are specific bike lanes that are only used for people that are riding their bikes. There are what is called a sharrow, not an arrow, but a sharrow, which is a painted arrow on the road that reminds car drivers to share the road with those on their bikes. There's on-street bike parking available, which is an inexpensive and efficient way to increase both public and private parking capacity. And in Oberlin, there's also bike racks at the Depot Park, Park Street Park, the Rec Complex, and the Oberlin Early Childhood Center. We mentioned Lakeview Park before. Up at the beach, there are bike racks, which were installed in 2015, which is a way to have people come visit the lake on their bike and keep it safe while they're there.
Secure before?
No, I have not.
Is that new, Jill?
You know, this. I'm looking at the notes I have here. That this is the first time I hear it, but I've seen them. So now I know what they're called.
I wanted to know: do I need to go back to driving school or to get some? You're painting things on the roadway that I'm supposed to interpret to know exactly what. Now I've seen the one that's the painted of the like the bike person.
Sure.
Thing, but I'll be looking now for the Sharrow. It'll be like pickleball, Craig, something that we haven't heard from, and suddenly we're going to be seeing the sharrows
everywhere
on the road. But the better to look for the bicyclist than the sharrow. Let's just put it that way, right? You have to make sure the bicyclist, because you have to share the road. Now, you mentioned the bike racks at Lakeview Park. We were there doing our spotlight on Lorain, and I remember seeing them. I think they're shaped like roses or something,
right?
Like that. Yeah, they have a very artistic look to them. They're not just sort of your standard slotted bike rack.
I think at first we didn't even realize it was a bike rack.
No, I had to ask to find out what are those, and we're told that they were bike racks. So they are some things like that. And it's a lot of those where people are able to make it convenient, because I guess there's benefits, I guess, for riding a bike. There's exercise, and it just sort of gives you a chance to commute without using your automobile as well. So lots of that going on. When's the last time you rode a bike? I'm throwing that out to you. I'm asking.
I want to go back about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I don't have one right now.
Okay. I've got one hanging in my garage. It's been moved from place to place. The wheels are not. It needs to. I gotta take it to a bike shop to have it worked
on. Well, get it out before kids are going back to school.
But there was a guy that was doing some work in my yard, and he saw the bike, and he goes, "Hey, that's like, because it's like a 1974 Raleigh Grand Prix."
Really?
He goes, "That's a pretty, you know, good looking bike."
There goes one right now.
So I have to keep my garage door shut. Not suddenly, where I have this valuable thing, but. Yeah, there's the bicycle seat, though, is the only issue that's on there as well. I may be too old to ride with the bicycle seat that's on there. But people get back into riding bikes. Families do it a lot. It's a good kind of a fun activity.
Jill, I mentioned back to school because the ads are starting to come out. Back to college, back to campus, back to school. And here we go. But now it's time to make sure those kiddos have the right immunizations.
That's right. I know. Personally, I can't believe summer's almost over, but it is time to start thinking about going back to school. Some new requirements for those going into 7th and 12th grade going into this fall of 2016 are regarding meningitis. Meningitis, it's a serious disease that can cause life-threatening infections, and it is something that is spread by being in close contact with others that are infected, which is why it's important for all school-aged children and college-age young adults to be protected. So in this effort to better protect students, the state of Ohio has updated these immunization requirements. And students that are entering the 7th grade this fall are required to have received a dose of the meningitis vaccine in addition to what we call the customary Tdap vaccine. This is also going to be required for those entering 12th grade. So if there's any questions about that, our agency is able to help with that or to schedule appointments, and they can do that by calling 440-284-3206.
Lots of things talked about this morning. I guess people can find out more from the Lorain County General Health District all about that. And we started by talking about the beach conditions, and I guess you do have a link that people can find out the quality of the water there at those beaches to sort of know whether it's time to head out to the beach or maybe wait till another day.
Right, and that is at www.loraincountyhealth.com.
Sounds great. Jill List, Director of Environmental Health for the Lorain County General Health District. Appreciate you stopping out.
Thanks for having me.
How was your iced coffee this morning?
It's